I can see clearly now the jank is gone. I can see all the pixels in front of me. Gone is the slow frame rate that had me blind. It's time for our show today. It's time for Tools Day. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we have a guest, Taylor Jones. Say hi, Taylor.
Hello.
We found him in the studio because he gave an excellent presentation about performance monitoring during one of our little knowledge shares. So if you want to introduce yourself a little,
yeah,
go ahead. Sure. Who are you? What are you doing here?
So I'm Taylor. I work on a product called Verse here at IBM. And it's kind of the, I wouldn't say replacement, but it's the lovely companion. The evolution. Yeah, yeah. Of Notes. So it's an email client. Before I was at IBM, I was at an e-commerce company where I got to do a lot of performance-focused things. And yeah, kind of got interested in performance monitoring. And that was kind of the beginning of it for me.
Sweet. So it really all stemmed from your last job.
True.
Was that sort of the core focus for you as a developer there?
No. That was actually just one part of it. I actually last year went to Fluent in San Francisco.
Ooh.
And saw some pretty awesome talks there about performance monitoring things and came back like super fired up about it. So implemented there some performance monitoring tools and things and kind of tried to begin to change culture a little bit towards, thinking performantly.
Cool.
So it was cool.
So what were some of the things that you did there that focus on changing that culture?
One of the biggest things, I think, was setting up automated testing for performance. So integrating that into the pipeline and the workflow for me and the other developers there, mainly just to promote the visibility of performance, because without it, you kind of have to dive into the dev tools or you have to use these specialized tools. But if there's a way that you can surface it and put it into some digestible format that maybe even is on like a huge TV on a wall, that really, you know.
Was this brand new at your old job, this automation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it like bringing that culture in?
It was challenging, but I think at the same time, because it wasn't fully integrated, it was more the testing was automated,
right,
side of thing. So we weren't necessarily automating via grunt and things of that nature. It
yeah.
was more just like, hey, let's make sure that we're checking the websites, you know, halfway frequently to see
yeah.
how they're loading at different times of the day
right.
and that kind of thing. So it was a bit external. I was kind of able
yeah.
to do it on my own. But still, it was cool because ultimately, you know, like I said, with graphs on the wall, you're able
right.
to see like issues arise as they happen.
Right.
And it kind of puts it on everybody's mind.
Was there ever a situation where you saw like a huge crash?
Yeah. So funny story. One time, it's actually just before I got the graph set up, but there was this huge image that was uploaded through our CMS into the onto the site. So it actually ended up on the homepage. It was like a 2 meg, maybe 3 meg image.
Whoops.
That,
whoops.
Yeah. yep. And so the CMS, you know, didn't handle the auto optimization
yeah.
and all of that. So, immediately we're like, holy cow, like our load times are off the charts. What's the deal here? And turns out that's what it was. So, it did take us a little bit of time to catch it, to be honest. And if we would have had the graphs up, it would have been an immediate thing, you know?
Yeah, so that helped you stop it in its tracks.
Right.
Kind of rewind, fix the problem before it became a bigger issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yep.
So let's get into some of those tools that you had set up.
Yeah. So the one that I had set up that actually did all of the automated testing was called SiteSpeed.io.
Okay.
Which is a fairly cool product, and it was appealing to me because it was free and it was open source. So I actually at Fluent, I saw a talk by Steve Souders, I think it is, and he was talking about SpeedCurve.com, I think it is,
or maybe it is.
We'll have all of these links in the show notes.
Right, yeah. So that's like an awesome tool. I was like totally flabbergasted. And so I was trying to find a way that I could have that similar kind of thing, but without having to pay for it. And so SiteSpeed came up very quickly. So
yeah.
there is a lot of setup with that.
Yeah.
But once we kind of had it up and running, it was pretty cool.
Did you guys link it up to Webpage Test as well?
Yeah, so we didn't get it hooked up to a private instance of Webpage Test.
Okay.
I would have loved to have had time to do that.
Yeah.
But we did have it hooked up to that as well as Google PageSpeed Insights.
Okay.
So we were able to surface all of that data.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool because we were able to use the built-in YSLO stuff in SiteSpeed.io to test to get metrics at very short intervals. So like every hour at first.
Yeah.
I was kind of aggressive in it. But with web page test, you know, you're limited to how many calls you can do.
Right.
So that was more of a peak time,
yep.
not peak time, kind of see the differences there.
Yeah, so let's step back a few steps because some of these things may be foreign.
Oh, right.
True.
So web page test. Can you give us a rundown of webpagetest.com and what it does?
Yeah, so webpagetest, I think it's .org, maybe.
It
might be
okay.
.com, whatever.
Webpagetest.org.
Okay. You'll get there.
Wow.
Just
if anyone's listening.
It allows you to put the URL to your website in, hit run test, you wait a couple minutes, and it brings back a plethora of data on not only your rendering performance, but your asset performance, your server performance. It gives you grades on all of those things.
It does a lot of really cool, complex things. It's not even just focusing on your web page. You can compare it to other web pages. So you can compare, I think it's up to 4 or 5 at a time, and then look at them next to each other, and you can visually get a representation of what's loading quickest through a video. So that's a really cool feature of it. You get a timeline.
Yeah,
plus a lot.
Leave this video of your page rendering, mm-hmm. right? So you can clearly see it, all the pain points you have during the rendering process. You can do different regions, which is great since most of us are, the internet is global, so you don't know if someone in China is accessing your web page mm-hmm. and how it renders for them.
And on what network as well.
On what network, the speed. It's great.
And there's an API, like you were saying.
This
so
is
you
true.
Can run this near CLI. There's that web interface.
Yeah. They've also integrated what is my site cost.com.
Right.
So there's a link to that now where you can see how much it costs in different countries for data prices.
Which is a huge thing because some people don't actually realize how much data costs across the world. I think Yuna actually had this put on our Twitter a couple days ago, last week.
One of the statistics that is super interesting to me is the cost of data in India specifically is very, very high compared to wages there. So an hour of minimum wage work in India loads about 15 web pages if you take in mind the average size of a web page.
Like
so that's not sites, that's a page.
Yeah.
And so I remember when I tweeted this a while ago, everyone was like, show me statistics, what are you talking about? And then a lot of people in India showed me their data costs, like, screen when they buy data and talked about like that's compared to the average minimum cost wage here. So that is just thing to keep in mind as another reason why this is so critical. When you're building, you have to make sure that your site is accessible to people if you want people to use it. And it's not the same price for everyone to use that site.
Yeah.
The one thing that What Does My Page Cost doesn't have is like if you're on a cruise,
everything costs 10,000 times as much.
Yeah. Like if you're on a boat in the middle of the sea, you can get data, but that's probably more. I don't even know.
Unless you're on Google Fi, I think Google Fi will probably get it to you for pretty cheap.
Really?
Yeah, I have Google Fi.
I've never been on a cruise.
Have you been on a cruise before?
No. I haven't either.
My goodness, it's like you just sleep and eat for a week.
I mean, isn't that like kind of all there is to do?
I mean, there are other things too, but sleep and eat. It's great.
Play shuffleboard.
Yeah. Euchre?
Sleep and eat and don't use Wi-Fi.
Euchre. I'm a Midwesterner and I don't know what euchre is.
Euchre.
How are you from the Midwest?
I'm from the Midwest.
No, euchre. Where did you go? Where in the Midwest?
Kansas City.
I definitely didn't grow up any Midwest. I grew up in Baltimore.
And you know what euchre is.
I don't know what euchre is.
Oh, okay.
E-U-C-H-R-E. It's a German card game.
Why would you know from the Midwest?
Because it's a very big Midwestern game.
Oh.
That is so...
You're probably not really in the Midwest. You're like fringes in the
Spell
Midwest.
It again. What is it?
E-U-C-H-R-E.
It's like everywhere I've gone in the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. It's like everyone knows it.
Well,
anyways, SiteSpeed.
SiteSpeed card games.
So, webpage test is great. There's a paid for service of it where you can ping your private internal networks as well. You can also stand up your own instance of it if you can do that. So, they provide you an image, you can host it locally, and that gets you around the paid restrictions. But
because you have to have it hosted. Somewhere.
Yeah, you have to host it somewhere.
You can also use ngrok if you want, and then tunnel the URL and put the tunnel into webpage test.
Yeah, so there are a couple ways around the private API limits, but it's just it gets there's some setup involved. Mm-hmm. And
like you said, though, they do have those images available. I think specifically for EC2 as well on Amazon.
So
back to SiteSpeed.
Or SoftLayer.
SiteSpeed uses web page tests. It also integrates here with Wyslow and Google Developer Page Speed Insights.
Right.
So it kind of like brings all the goodness of those services in together. And then you were starting to talk about visualizing those things.
Right, right. So SiteSpeed.io is kind of crazy in that it is able to run tests via web page test, via Google Page Speed, via Wyslow, and then it's able to put all of that data into this specialized database called Grafana that is kind of specifically tailored towards data that's like time-based, like right. this. And the thing is that you can make graphs in there, but they're really not that pretty. They don't really function very well, to be honest. So you can use a dashboard builder or a graph builder called Grafana.
Right.
Set that up, and then you're able to pipe all that data into some really customizable graphs, which is what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
So is that what you were showing on your visualizations, like the big TV display?
Correct, correct. Yeah, and so we were able to see specifically, you brought this up, the concept of like against your competitors, how you're doing. And I think that was one thing that was really interesting was that as soon as we got
Taylor's
that...
And what Taylor is referencing is a performance presentation that I was giving for a training here.
Right. So, yeah. So the idea is that you not only test your website, but you test your competitors' websites and see how you stack up. And then you surface that data. So we were able to do that and, show how... specifically images were significantly larger than our competitors and how much slower we were because of that. And so immediately, you can turn the graph red at that point. You can make it look like there's an error there, which in a sense there is. and as stakeholders come by that, like they can see immediately, like, why is that red? What's up? And you're able to tell them, oh, our images are a little large, something we need to work on. And we were actually able to get resources assigned to try and tackle that problem.
Right, because that's who you have to convince.
Right,
people who
exactly.
are, paying for the service, paying for the salary, the stakeholder, et cetera.
Right.
If you give them visualization representation that their product is performing worse than their competitor, there's nothing like that to light a fire underneath them and want to increase the speed, which makes it a priority. And that's how you change culture.
Exactly.
And Bloomix just stood up a bunch of Grafana boards.
Really?
Using the exact same this tech stack, SiteSpeed.io, my page awesome. Test. Performance is definitely a big issue we have, and we're trying to tackle that. So all these things can be used in production and are. So
yeah, we just have to set up a TV to have that.
Yeah, need a TV.
Crucial.
We have a couple that we could use, so let's just steal one.
Yeah.
Ask questions later. Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah.
And then get that set up. You can also set it up on iPads, anywhere really that you have a spare screen.
Mm-hmm.
You could just link a screen to a computer. It's really good to see. So SiteSpeed.io is something that you kind of have to work with Grafana to make it visual. Mm-hmm. But then there's another site, the paid service that we mentioned earlier, that has a really nice UI built in. What was that one called again?
Speed Curve.
Have you used SpeedCurve much, either of you?
Whenever I set up SiteSpeed.io, before I did that, because I knew it was going to be a deep pool, I set up a trial of
SpeedCurve.
Well, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
It's not.
It depends
onerous, but like if you have a small to medium size account, it's fine. But if you have a lot of traffic, it gets. The pricing gets enterprisey, which makes sense.
That makes sense. I mean, it's an important service to have.
I think right now it's 1 cent per check with a minimum of $20 per month. Which again is fairly, I think, reasonable for a small thing. As soon as you get into really high request volumes, it does get a little bit expensive.
How did you find, was it easier to work with inside Speed, or was it just the same amount of setup?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, SpeedCurve, it's basically like you put in the URLs and it's done. Like, it takes care of all of it for you. It's really fantastic. They've got stuff automatically set up for viewing, like, responsive data relating to, like, how well responsively you do perform it.
So is that with different devices, or is it at different screen sizes in general?
I think you set up widths, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so it's just the width,
you can
not
set
the,
up
the device.
Correct, you set up different widths. I believe that's how it's done. But you can also integrate it into your CI so that anytime you deploy, yeah, graphs can be annotated, which you can do with site speed as well.
Yeah.
But that, again, is a little bit easier with right curve.
I mean, site speed is pretty powerful, but it's just a lot of setup. Mm-hmm. UI is not, you have to plug in like Grafana or some other graphing thing to make it, you know, more visual. There's just a lot of things you need to do to make site speed work for you. Speed curve.
It just takes a little more setup.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems. They do make it somewhat easy, I think, because they have Docker containers set up
right,
for
yeah
all those things. So
yeah,
if you're familiar with Docker, you can pull all those down,
right,
spin them up, link them, and you're done.
Yeah.
In some respects.
I feel like site speed's gotten a lot better mm-hmm over the, I've only seen them around for like 2 years, maybe.
I've only seen it for 2 years, too.
So it's possible they were there before. I just never saw them before.
Mm-hmm.
But in the time that I've seen them, they've gotten a lot more user-friendly, but it still requires you to have some sort of baseline knowledge. Speed curve is designed for anybody,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
You don't need anything to know. It's great.
Performance testing.
Are there any other tools that we're not mentioning? Because we're sort of talking mostly about two.
Yeah, so there's this thing called Big Rig. It was made by Paul.
Oh, that's brand new.
Brand new. It's by like Paul. It's Paul Lewis.
November 2015 new.
Yeah, it's by one of the Paul's divine. Paul Lewis, Paul.
Yeah.
Irish, but Paul Lewis is the one who made it. And it uses Google Chrome's Rail model, which is responsive.
Response animation.
Interaction.
Load,
yeah. And
haha, we know acronyms.
Yeah.
Be proud of us, Google.
But it's somewhat similar, where it takes a little bit of setup to actually use properly, but it's not too bad.
So it gives you results in terms of Rail?
Well, no, kind of. So let me step back a couple steps. What it does is that it takes basically that network tab of Google Chrome and then outputs it in a human-readable format. And then in the graphing UI for it, there's a web UI for it as well, which you need to spell out yourself. It does some things with Rail. I don't remember off the top of my head. I looked at it briefly back in November, so when he first announced it, and haven't touched it since. But in that one look I had with it, it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I remember I looked at it in the beginning, and it seemed pretty nice.
It was a little bit buggy.
I remember UI, but it was mostly command line.
Yeah, there's a CLI and a UI. I think they came out at the same time, but the CLI is super easy to get started up with, and the UI itself took a bit of finagling.
Yeah, so there's a dashboard.
Yeah.
I just pulled it up. It's still an experimental proof of concept system,
yes,
for generating and parsing Chrome's trace files.
Yes.
So check that out if you're one of those people who likes to experiment with things that are new and shiny.
Which I do.
And
love it.
Yes, if you're one of our people. yeah, so cool. Like, this lets you track performance stats over time. So the CLI and web app versions for you to play with there.
We also mentioned Google PageSpeed Insights earlier, which is a great resource.
Yeah.
It's only available for public websites. But it gives you a breakdown of...
Well, we kind of went over that, how you could use it locally with ngrok, and like you can...
Oh, yeah,
API.
Yeah. So if you tunnel your local website out to a private... Or if you tunnel your local stuff out to public,
right,
then you can use PageSpeed Insights. Ngrok, by the way, if people aren't aware, tunnels your local to public.
Yep.
It's
really easy. It's just you get an account, you install in your system, you type ngrok, the port number, and you can share with everyone. It's lovely. And it's a great way to test your site on multiple devices if you have a device lab and all that jazz, like sending some site to maybe a designer you're working with or another developer so they could take a look at it locally.
Just make sure you close it down after you're done.
Yeah.
don't leave that.
Anything else over there, Taylor?
The only thing I can think of is really just don't forget the dev tools. I
mean, right.
That's the other half of it. You know.
And there's so many performance things that you can... I don't want to say performance optimizations, but performance insights within the DevTools themselves.
Right.
They're, I think literally it's called Performance Insights if you
Oh, yeah. That is actually Google PageSpeed Insights.
There's audits.
Right.
There's an audits panel.
Yeah.
There are Chrome extensions. There are probably a lot of things in Firefox, too, that let you do this and look at it directly in your
Probably.
Browser.
Probably.
Yeah, the problem is, I feel terrible. I just don't use Firefox that much, except for when I'm, like, browser testing.
Is it broken? Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. Why Firefox? Why?
So true.
Okay, so to wrap things up, I'm going to ask one question to you, Taylor. The last question is, if you were to give advice to somebody who wants to set up their own performance monitoring system, what would that advice be? And yeah, that.
I was going to say why.
That made no sense.
I think if you're really looking to dabble, SpeedCurve is definitely something that has a very low barrier to entry that you can see kind of what's possible. But again, if cost is an issue, if there is a little bit of that in your situation, sitespeed.io is probably the number two to that. I think it's a bit of an evolution. Maybe start off with something that that's really user friendly, and then maybe if you need something more advanced, look into sitespeed.io.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for joining us today and for introducing us to the world of performance monitoring tools.
Yeah.
It was awesome to have you. And thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you.